And thank you for tuning in to the Business and Wealth Show with your host, Mac Atram. Let's go. Hello and welcome to the Business and Wealth Show again with your host, Mac Atram, the business coach. And today I have the pleasure to be speaking with Robert Brill from LA. Now, for those who don't know Robert has worked in advertising for 20 years, over 20 years, and he's the CEO of Brill Media, a digital advertising agency for scalable business growth. If you're looking to scale in your business, then this is the right place to be. The company has been honored 10 times across Inc. 5000, and also, if you're in the UK, Financial Times 500. So this is an expert who knows what he's talking about. Say, Robert, welcome to the Business and Wealth Show. Thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for having me, Mac. Appreciate it.
Excellent. Thank you. And Robert, I want to jump straight in now before we get into your expertise. How long have you been an entrepreneur now, and what got you into the throes of entrepreneurialism?
Yeah, so I've been a business owner and entrepreneur for 10 years. So the first half of my career I spent working in the advertising business at agencies, and the second half of my career now I've been working with my own agency, Brill Media.
Oh, fantastic. Very good. And what was life like in the early days of your new entrepreneur journey?
It was a mess. It was a complete mess. I was stressed all the time, and I can't say that I'm not stressed now, but the stress is different and I have better tools and abilities to handle the stress. But fundamentally, it was a lot of risk. You know, the company I'd worked for filed for bankruptcy in 2013, and I was like, okay, I don't really want to start over with another company. If I'm going to put in all that effort, I'm going to start my own thing. But then immediately I decided that I'm going to take another job. So I started the legal entity. And then like 4 months later, well, two of those months I went on vacation with my wife. She was my girlfriend at the time. And then I took a job and I pushed it off for like a year and 2 months. And then I finally went all in on the business.
Right. There you go. So it's not always plain sailing. There is hesitancy. There is a big risk. You've still got to pay the bills, but you figure it out. Are you happy that you jumped ship and went all in eventually?
Yeah. I mean, during that year where I was employed and also had my LLC, I felt like I was missing the boat. I felt like there were situations where competitors were starting up their own agencies, people I knew in the marketplace, and I felt like I was missing the boat. And I felt really a lot of FOMO. And so it's definitely, you know, Napoleon Hill's burning desire. I definitely had that burning desire to get my own thing up and running. But the challenge fundamentally is it's never smooth sailing. Things are always going to take longer and be more expensive than any of us would like. That's what I found.
Wow. Thanks for that input. Now I want to jump into your expertise. And one of the things you said, Robert, I read was that you say there are over 10 million companies advertising on Meta, which for those listening in, we're talking about Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, and 62% of them will fail because they don't know how to advertise effectively. Tell us about that. If 62% will fail, then a lot of money is going down the drain here.
Yeah. So when we talk about failing, it's ineffective advertising and marketing. And one big reason for that is going to be the boost post button. The boost post button is an easy way for Meta to extract a few hundred dollars from millions of businesses. And the reason why that's not the best way to use your money is, number one, there's no strategy behind it. When you can just press a button and get your post up and spend money, there's no incentive for a strategy. Number two, it's not using Meta the way Meta wants businesses to use the tool. Mm-hmm. Certainly Meta wants companies to spend money on Meta, but to get the most out of Meta, to have it grow your business, that's not the method. And so as a result, you have advertisers, you have businesses like the mom and pop flower shop, yoga studio, whatever the case is, even small businesses that are B2B, they're pressing the boost post button and they're optimizing to likes, comments, and shares. And as we all know, likes, comments, and shares don't pay the bills, unfortunately. So you've really, the focal point has to be taken away from ease and pushed into something that's going to grow the, you know, keep your accounting team busy, essentially.
Mm. So before we go deeper into that, I know you sometimes talk about marketing, at times talk about advertising. For those who mix up both as the same thing, what's the difference between marketing and advertising? Yeah.
I really appreciate that. That's an incredibly important question. Mm. So at the macro, at the highest level, marketing is the overall descriptor. Inside marketing, you have a few different disciplines. You have search engine optimization. You have branding. You have creative development. You have social content posting. You have PR and publicity, which is getting people's names and links into big publications like Forbes and Inc. and et cetera. Then you have advertising. By definition, advertising is the ability to deliver a message in exchange for money. You have to pay for a message to be delivered. So if you are paying for a message to be delivered, that equals advertising. If you're not paying a television station or a social media site like Facebook or some entity that controls, that has access to consumers, if you're not paying them, it's promotion, it's marketing, it's not advertising. So paid advertising is actually I hear that term all the time. It's a redundant term because advertising by definition is paid.
It's paid anyway. Right. Got it. A great, great definition. So so in terms of small business owners, when should they be marketing? When should they be advertising? Is there a definitive time or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's when you have product market fit. Product market fit is when you know what to say, how to say it, and how to price your business so that people spend money with you. If you're not sure what to say, if you don't know how to price your product or service, or you don't know how to where to go to reach your people, you don't have product market fit. The whole thing again, yeah? About product market fit. So there's three things you need with product market fit. The first is you want to look at the audience size. So for example, in Los Angeles, you don't see any Caribbean fast food places. You see Chinese, you see Japanese, all variety of Mexican and Central and South American, but you don't see Caribbean. Now, to me, Caribbean food sounds lovely. But at the end of the day, I'm sure there were companies that tried to get into the US market with fast Caribbean food, but the taste is different. People don't know what it is. At the end of the day, the market isn't there. So in the product market fit, you have to have people who want a certain product or service that you're offering. So you got to make sure that there's enough people. Your total addressable market has to be big enough for you to make a living. The second component is urgency. And the urgency component is if you offer a service that people want, but they don't really need right now, that could be a problem for you. And in my experience, what I found is that I offered consulting services. And I got some benefit, I closed some clients there.
Yeah.
But in that process, I learned that what people actually need far more than consulting and analytics is what they need is media buying. Because they consider that a way for them to earn money. It was much more urgent. Their clients were spending money on ad buying, spending money to reach people with ads. So the end result there is the opportunity to be able to serve an immediate need that the marketplace has.
Right, right.
So when you're looking at product market fit, you want to talk to people, have conversations, post on social media. So I spent 2 years trying to figure out what our product market fit is. So I understood what to say, how to say it, and really also how to price our business so that people were spending money with us. Mm. So I think the answer to the question of when should companies start to advertise?
Right.
Well, as only when they know what to say, how to say it, how to price your business to scale up. Now, if you don't know how to do that, what you should do instead is post on social media. Pay attention to the posts and the engagement that really is more interesting, like shows higher numbers than any other post you have. If you're B2B, talk to a lot of people, go to conferences, go to networking events, talk to people, connect with people, look for referral opportunities so that you have the ability to start generating income. And once you've maxed all that stuff out, then you should start advertising. At the end of the day, all businesses need is predictable, repeatable and scalable business growth.
Absolutely.
That's what we're all looking for. So if you never have to spend a penny on advertising because your business is blowing up in the best possible way just by talking to people, that's a winning business.
Wow. Fantastic.
Well, great, great, great answer there. So 62% of people, small business owners who advertise on Meta fail. Is it because of the same thing, the product market fit, or is there other parameters that they're not considering?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you don't know if you should be advertising. That's the first thing. Because look, at the end of the day, no one expects the flower shop or the B2B business owner that's like into coding to be a marketing expert. Just like you wouldn't hire me to fix your car or to help you when you're physically not feeling well. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a mechanic. I'm not an expert of any one of those things. So business people need to really understand that they can get massive opportunity. They can accelerate their business in really meaningful ways by working with experts. So the companies who are failing, it's because they're not allocating their resources effectively in a way that makes sense for their business because they don't know what to do. Now, in more practical terms, the next thing you should be doing, let's say you have product market fit, next thing you need to be doing when you are talking about like advertising specifically is you need a strategy. You need to understand your business goals, and then you need to work backwards to the actions you need to take today to achieve your business goals that will happen in a year or 5 years or whatever the number is. So when you talk about business goals, how much money do you want? How much headcount do you want? Do you want power, prestige? Do you want to just be known as a good business person? Are you on a mission? Like one of our clients has a really great mission. Her mission here in Los Angeles is to help create opportunities for houses to be built. Okay. Like there's just a full-on, and I learned this from her, there's a full-on shortage of people who understand how to build homes. Physically building homes is a challenge for people in the United States. We just don't know how to do it at scale. There's also commercial spaces that are, or there's also, what's it called? Anyway, there's zoning issues. Part of her mission is to help improve the supply of homes in this country. And her advertisers are like vocational schools who teach people how to build homes. But she's part of the political advocacy component of this as well. So I think when you have a mission, when you have a vision for why your business exists beyond the money, you really start to hone in on the success, the possibility of success for your business.
Got it.
And that strategy helps you define how you achieve that success over time. And it helps you work backwards to the steps you can take today to grow your business. So that advertising strategy then becomes very important because then you know, well, I should be running ads on Meta, but not on X or TikTok.
Okay.
And I should be running ads on Google, but not, you know, some other platform. So you really get to understand what works and what doesn't for your business. And the people are just boosting posts. They don't have any good, I don't think there's a lack of good resources for them, and they're just wasting their money, flushing it down the toilet. It's better not to spend at all.
Yeah, thanks for that. You know, I wanted to go deep into which platform or which channels should I be advertising on if I'm a small business owner, I'm an entrepreneur. And you started, you touched on strategy, getting clear on all of that. Over the years, what has been working for the mom and pop shop, the consultant, the coach?
Yeah. So a couple things. 45% of all digital advertising spend in the US will go to Meta and Google.
45%.
Yeah, it's the duopoly. Now there's competitors like Amazon is coming up there. Like Instacart is going to earn $1 billion in advertising this year. Instacart, like, you know, the grocery company, the grocery delivery company, like they're an ad network. Any company that has an aggregation of users at scale is an ad network. Uber is starting to run ads in their app. Okay. So I think, you know, for every business, you have that strategy of that defines where you should run. In practice, for coaches and consultants, you're probably going to be on LinkedIn. It depends on who your audience is. If your audience is going to be B2B, then I definitely talk about LinkedIn, run ads on LinkedIn. Lead ads on LinkedIn are really good. I'd be running on Google and I'd be running on Meta. And then I would look at any industry-specific publication. So if you're a consultant for the restaurant industry, for example, or a coach for restaurant entrepreneurs, then you want to consider advertising in like there's I don't know the name of the publication, but there's like QSR Weekly or something, you know, quick service restaurant publications. Like those are places you want to be as well. But fundamentally, like you want to look at advertising as a, the elements of your advertising and even your larger marketing strategy are similar to the orchestra in a symphony. Like one violin player sounds great, but you're not going to create a symphony out of one violin player. But when you have like 37 violinists and two drummers and a gong guy and the trumpet and all the things that are in an orchestra, which sounds like the worst orchestra ever with the gong and the trumpet.
37 violins will do it.
37 violins, you know, the piano, whatever the case is.
I hear you.
In aggregate, they create the symphony. And the symphony is akin to your sales apparatus. It's the set of things that you do that create sales for your business. What you don't want to be doing is having your Google ads compete with your Meta ads, compete with your, you know, X advertising ads.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, they work together to build that symphony and create opportunities for growth. So I think a lot of people in the digital advertising space start to pit different channels together because they think that's how it's supposed to be. They're going to optimize. But like someone will see your ad on Meta and then 2 days later, Google you.
Oh, okay.
So, you're going to say your Google ads perform better. But if you turn off Meta, then your Meta ads are siphoning, you're shutting off the demand that's being generated that turns into Google search clicks in 2 days, or your search engine optimization, your organic rankings start to improve because your Meta ads are doing well. So you really want to work on these together, not separately.
So they've got to be more synergistic. And I suppose this is where people need experts like yourself to direct them the right way. Is that right?
No one expects you, if you've been in the flower business your entire life, no one expects you to be a marketing expert.
Right.
It's like you wouldn't expect me to put together flowers.
You are, absolutely. And listen, one of the things I heard you write was go bullish on TikTok when it comes to marketing and advertising. Why TikTok and why now?
Yeah. So TikTok is, if you just read the headlines, TikTok is for people 35 and under. Right. If you actually look at TikTok and you look at the type of content, it's very relevant for people of all ages.
Mm.
Now, the difference is there's 170 million people in the United States who are on TikTok, which is still a lot of people. And it starts to look like the general population. The larger you get, the more it just looks like the general population. Like if 8% of the population is 18 to 24, these platforms start to have about 8% of their population to be 18 to 24, whatever the numbers are. TikTok will skew younger. So maybe instead of 8%, it'll be 12% of their audience is 18 to 24, for example. So they're going to over-index for younger people. But audiences of all sizes are there. But that's not the reason why you should be on TikTok. That's a prerequisite. Your audience is there. The reason to be on TikTok is because their algorithm is really good at basically creating primetime programming. Like if you want your content to be inserted into 300 to 500 people's feeds that are relevant for your business, create content over time, get better at what you're doing, and the person on the other side who's scrolling at like 9 o'clock at night before they go to sleep or 10 o'clock at night before they go to sleep, your content will be scheduled into their list of scrolls so that they can watch your videos. And over time, that builds what you need for a business, which is awareness. And you need this concept of people need to know you, like you, and trust you. And they start to get to know you by what you post on TikTok. You've got to be committed to it. This is not like something you do for 15 days and say, oh, it didn't work, and you stop. You do this for years at a time. The fundamental benefit in addition to that is, in addition to the awareness drive, is if you're in the B2B space specifically, if you're selling knowledge and insights over the course of your experienced career, TikTok has been really good for me to reignite relationships that I've had with people from like 15 years ago. Uh-huh. It's been really good to generate new sales opportunities for us. And it's a starting point. So then you have content for your LinkedIn, for your X, for your YouTube, for your Facebook and Instagram. So I look at it as a jumping off point to your social media content creation journey.
All right. And why would that work better on TikTok than on Facebook, Instagram? What's the pull? And you gave some numbers, 170 million people on TikTok, and it can be quite well targeted. So I want to know why focus so much energy on that rather than Instagram and Facebook. What are they not doing?
I think the algorithm is more generous to creators on TikTok. Look, there's some people who will swear up and down for Instagram Reels.
Okay.
And, you know, there's opportunities there, but you know, like if you're creating content for a female audience, you know, Pinterest should be a good place for you.
Right.
But fundamentally, like as an all-in aggregate for most companies, I would say TikTok is a must-do because they're so generous with their algorithm. Like you can't really go viral. I think it's harder for people to go viral. It's harder for the average person to go viral on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I think it's easier for the average person to go viral on TikTok.
Wow. Thank you for that. So earlier on, Robert, you spoke about business growth and business scaling. Can you go a bit deeper in terms of, let's say there's a coach or a consultant listening now and they want to scale their coaching or their training or their speaking business? Mm-hmm. What are some strategies they can use to, maybe they're not using now, to grow their business, scale their business, especially as an entrepreneur who's been doing this for over a decade?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, just business fundamentals, I would look for partnerships. What are the channel and referral partners you can work with that will get in front of your target audience? So for example, for us, you know, accounting firms are going to be good for us and lawyers are going to be good for us because they're also talking to the same clients we talk to. And primarily we talk to agencies. We're a white label for agencies. So they do the creative work, we do the ad buying work, and we go to market together. We don't exclusively work with agencies. We'll work with businesses directly, but who we market to is agencies. So if I want to reach agencies, I go to where agencies go and I'm going to connect with, go to conferences, look for referral partners, and look for people who have access to my audience and can lend me a little bit of their credibility. That's a big part of it. I would be posting content on TikTok and other top channels routinely. And you want to look for the top pieces of content that you create.
Right.
And those top pieces of content start to help you identify product market fit and start to help you identify what the marketplace wants from you, which is ultimately about product market fit. So then you take your top pieces of content, and if they're relevant for your business, you run them as ads.
Okay.
So you don't have to, like, and this goes back to the idea of boosting a post. I've heard people say to me, and I've heard people online say, like, hey, we're just going to boost the post because we already created the ad. We want people to see it. But the reality is that you need to create dozens of ads, hundreds of ads. Because we have a framework where you can create 5 ads a month, but really those 5 ads can be turned into a total of 125 possible ad variations. And over that, because you just mix and match the different variables, like the different headlines and whatnot, you mix and match them. And over the course of a month, you'll find out which one ad out of 125 is your all-star.
Okay.
So compare that to, I've created one out of those 125. I'm going to put all my money on that one out of 125 chance that that one combination that I created is the right one.
Mm-hmm.
Versus I'm going to create 5 ads and determine through science, through control and variable testing, which one ad is the absolute best. So you start, like, this is how you start to make just stronger advertising investments so that they perform better.
Okay. So yeah, thanks for that. You know, earlier on you talked about go to where your clients are. So partner with other people who are already buying from those companies. And for you, it's the lawyers, it's the
accountants.
Yeah. So which makes a lot of sense. And so I do agree with that. You know, as a business coach myself, and what's worked well for me is partnering with accountants, partnering essentially with event promoters, because I travel around the world speaking on stages around the world. So event promoters are great for me because they can put me in a room with my ideal clients and, you know, I offer them something if they like what I'm saying and buy from me. So this is so, so critical that if people listening now, get in front of the ideal client. And when Robert's talking about product market fit, Yes, it's about the right product to the right people at the what? At the right price, right? So if you can get those, that trifecta in place, you're probably going to succeed more. Thank you for that, Robert. Robert, is there anything in regards to what you do? Actually, hold on. You talked about, I was going to stop you there, but you were so much in flow. You talked about, and for those who don't understand, you work with agencies. Some people don't know what agencies are. And then you are an advertiser. So give us an idea of, I clearly know what is, you know, the creative side of things and then the advertising side of things. So people know, you know, what it is out there and who they should be speaking to, depending on what they have.
Yeah. So when you see an ad on Facebook, there are a few components of the ad. There's the text at the top, the image or video in the middle, and the headline at the bottom. Someone had to come up with all that. Someone had to like take a photograph or do some animation or film a video for the image, video, animation to be there, whatever the case is. Usually a different group of people will have had to write something that's compelling. Like think about Nike, Just Do It. Someone, you know, or a group of people came up with that. It didn't just fall from the sky. So that's the creative component of the business, like literally creating visuals and communicating any sort of brand identity that's going to be relevant for the business. The second part of that is once all that is created, all that without any other further intervention, all that does, it lives in a Dropbox file on someone's computer, and that's it. There's a different group of people, which is what our business does, is we do ad buying. We say, okay, we're going to take, who's your target audience? What are your KPIs, your key performance indicators for the business? What are you trying to accomplish? Well, I need 27 leads a month, and I need the cost per lead to be under $56, whatever the case is. So we say, okay, to achieve that, based on everything we know in your business, we should be on Meta and Google and LinkedIn, let's say. Uh-huh. Then we buy the advertising space. We put down our credit card and we say, look, we're going to target a certain audience, and we're going to do some testing, and we're going to understand where which ads perform the best. So we're taking the creative that already exists, the image, the text, et cetera, we're going to upload it to Facebook and Google and LinkedIn. We're going to run ads. We're going to target a very specific group of people, and we're going to optimize the campaign such that it delivers that $56 or under cost per lead. So there's two key like types of work. There's the creative people who know how to film stuff on camera and Photoshop and take photos, like the creative, the arts. Then there's the math people. The math people who know how to buy advertising space are looking at click-through rates, cost per click, cost per lead, cost per sales qualified lead. So they have the systems and processes is in place. So when we partner up with an agency, it's usually going to be a creative shop or a strategy firm. And the creative shop says, we're really good at filming commercials and writing copy.
Right.
But ad buying is a completely different type of business. We do it with them in partnership. So hence going back to the partner component.
Yeah.
And we go to market and serve their clients. And on the strategy side, strategy is really the big picture thinking, like how do you go from point A to point B? There are companies that all they do is strategy and tell you the steps that you need to take to drive success. And we'll partner with them. They'll do the strategy and we'll do the activation. We'll buy the advertising space. So that's kind of a breakout of how we work.
Well explained. So that should stop any confusion there. Thank you for that. Hey, you're listening to the Business and Wealth Show with Robert Brill and Mac Attram. Now, if you like what you're hearing and seeing, make sure to like, make sure to follow or subscribe, which depends on which channel you are on. We know the algorithm likes comments as well. So make some comments. Let us know what you're getting out of this. I'm just going to go back to Robert. Robert, before we finish off in a moment, I just want to, those who want to get hold of you or want to speak to you, what's the best way for them to be able to do that?
Yeah, thanks. Our website is brillmedia.co, B as in boy, R-I-L-L, media.co. Hit the start now button and you can work with us and have a strategy conversation with me. And also we have a course to teach people how to start advertising agencies where we talk about the fundamentals of business, how SEO happens, how to achieve product market fit with some great detail, all the things you need that can be really applied to most businesses, not just agencies, but that's where we're focusing the course on agencies.
Perfect. So that's Well said. Now, before we wrap up, is there anything else that you'd have liked me to ask you that I haven't, but it's important for our audience to hear from you while you are with us here?
Yeah, I think, okay, this is, so there's this theoretical physicist, his name is Michio Kaku, and he talks about the different types of civilizations in our world. And this is very relevant to this conversation. Not in our world, that can possibly exist in the universe.
Right.
And he talks about our civilization, our world. And he says that the jobs of the future, and it's really the jobs of the present at this point, are going to be the people who tend to the machines. The machines are going to do the heavy lifting, and we're going to make sure the machines are doing the right thing. So, for example, when you are when you're in a plane and you're flying from London to New York, the takeoff is going to be all hands on with the pilots. Hopefully, it's smooth sailing all across the ocean, and then landing in JFK is going to be hands on. But the flight in the middle over the Atlantic is going to be like really it's going to be the plane is doing all the work, like the pilots are just monitoring. So that's what the jobs of today are. Like, a big part of our job, and probably most people's job, is to use tech to do the heavy lifting, but to ensure that the tech that's doing the heavy lifting is working for our benefit. So we know how to train Meta's machine learning algorithm to find your best customers, for example. There's AI tools that are available for businesses to accelerate the work that you do. So use the tech so that you can become, you can accelerate your work.
Awesome. Awesome. And if you don't understand the tech, don't know how to use it, just check in on Robert. Let Robert help you here. Robert, appreciate you. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your knowledge and sharing that information with us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being on here. Everyone, thank you for listening. Thank you, Robert. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Mac.
All right. Thank you, and see you again next time.